Please turn with me to our first reading, which comes from James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we read from verse 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now let's turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we read from verse 7 through 12. Solomon says, go eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. This is the word of God. Everything depends upon God. Nothing is within our control. I think if we take those words seriously, there's a good chance they aren't words we'd like to hear. Everything depends upon God. Nothing is within our control. Friends, they are true words, whether we want to hear them or not. And the reason why we might not want to hear them is because we like to be in control, don't we? We like the idea, don't we? The sense that if we follow a course of actions, we can achieve a desired outcome. You say to yourself, I'll go to university next year. I'll study to be an engineer and I'll make a difference in life. It could be a bad motive. I want to become filthy rich so I can indulge my every desire. But it could be a good motive. I will use the gifts that God has given me to work with skill and to his glory. But then tomorrow you might be hit by a bus and break your back or suffer brain damage. Or your family situation may change and you need to work instead of study to provide for the needs of your family. Or 101 other things that we could imagine together might happen that might cause your dreams for the future to come crashing down. Or you're in business and you have a rock solid plan for success. But because of financial downturn, the bank calls in the loan. You're just months away from making a huge difference, from repaying all that money and making profits. And no one though will finance, no one will step into the breach, no one will do that. And everything you own is sold to repay that debt. or just before you launch, the government changes rules. Governments do that sometimes. Just before you're ready to go, they change the rules and the regulations, and all of a sudden this product that you designed that was going to be perfect for the needs of everyone you can think of is all of a sudden against the regulations, and you've sunk money and it's for nothing. And you're left with nothing. Or an important relationship, maybe your family or a friend. You've been working hard to build this relationship for so long, and then all of a sudden one day you find that you've been manipulated. And the person you love isn't the person they made themselves out to be. Nobody saw it coming, and they're off leaving a broken heart behind, a broken family behind. And there's nothing you could have done. And even if there was, you can't force someone to love you. Everything depends upon God. Nothing is within our control. We live in an unpredictable world. That's the message our text is communicating to us this evening. The fastest car doesn't always win the race. The strongest army doesn't always prevail in battle. Getting an education is no guarantee of a job. A brilliant genius isn't assured of a fortune. A God-fearing Joseph sometimes falls out of favor through no fault of their own and finds themselves in prison. And here's the refrain. Time and chance happen to them all. Time and chance happen to them all. We shouldn't let the word chance throw us this evening. As it's used here, it means something unexpected, something unpredictable that takes place. Things beyond our expectations, things beyond our control. Time and chance happen to them all. No man knows when his hour will come. So just as we've already seen in previous chapters in Ecclesiastes that we need to face the reality of death, so our text this evening calls us to face the reality of living in an unpredictable world. The reality and the challenge of living in a world where time and chance happen to them all. So we want to ask this question. As God's people, how are we going to do that? How are we going to live in an unpredictable world? I want to outline this evening three ways in which we might do that. And first of all, we respond to the unpredictability of life in the right way by recognizing that we should prepare for disappointments. We should prepare for disappointments. I want to begin by saying that although the race is not to the swift and the battle to the strong and so forth, as Solomon outlines, often it is. We know that to be the case. Hard work is generally rewarded. Getting an education usually pays dividends. Devoting time and effort to a relationship ordinarily sees that relationship flourish and grow. And what's more, it is an immense blessing of God that life works this way, that this is true. Imagine if you had to go through life and you didn't have at least some expectation that hard work would be better than no work. Well, there'd be no incentive to do anything, would there? There'd be no incentive to get out of bed in the morning. It'd be a messed up world. What's more than that, God's blessing would seem completely arbitrary. You wouldn't be able to assume anything. Because as a general principle, God has said, walk in my ways, and I will bless you. Whatever else might be said this evening, that much is true. But if I can put it like this, it's not absolutely true. By that I mean this. The idea that the Bible promises that the faithful and obedient person will only always experience good health or financial prosperity or thriving relationships and happiness, that idea is profoundly wrong. The idea that you can be sure of avoiding disaster or illness and death if you have enough faith, if you just walk in God's ways to the T, that idea is unbiblical. And not only is it unbiblical, but as someone has said, it is insulting every Christian throughout the past 2,000 years who has known illness, poverty, and misery, and placing a millstone around the neck of those who are drowning, rather than offering them the comfort and hope of the gospel. The story of Job, we looked at in the early months of this year, showed us someone wholeheartedly serving the Lord can suffer greatly even because of their strong faith and commitment to God. Or Jesus, the most faithful and obedient man ever to walk on this earth, on planet Earth, we might well ask ourselves, where was his wealth, his health, and his prosperity? So was it any surprise that we, who don't even come close to approximating the faithfulness of Jesus, might face disappointments in this life as well? And so we should be ready. We should make ourselves ready. We should prepare ourselves for disappointments. And if life for you this evening is really good, and you are experiencing the blessings of God upon your life, and now is an especially good time for you to make yourself ready for disappointment. Because this is the time to make your property ready for a bushfire that might be sweeping through. The time to do that isn't when the fire is lapping away at the trees on your boundary. So now is the time for us to prepare ourselves for disappointments. Now is the time for us to prepare ourselves for hardships. Now is the time to remind ourselves that the unexpected in life may well come, and may well come sooner than we think. The point of doing so now is that when disaster, when the unpredictable strikes, we won't be left floundering. We won't be making shipwreck of our faith, feeling like God has abandoned us, or living with a false assumption that God promised us good times and so God isn't somehow delivering on his deal. No, Solomon says, time and chance happen to them all. You know, sometimes the disappointments in life can teach us, even teach us a lot. One of the things that they can do, and you may have experienced this to be the case yourself, one of the things that they can do is that they can correct false pictures of God that we have painted in our minds. The pictures that we might have in our minds that are actually idols, not the true God. Thinking that life revolves around me rather than around God and his glory. Thinking that God is someone who is ready and waiting, almost like he's at your beck and call. Of thinking that when trouble calls, God will drop everything and prayer will bring back the good times. Rather than a God who is sovereign. Rather than a God who is in control of all things. A God who works out all things, even the hard things, for his glory and for my good. For a God who would do all of those other things, a God who would drop everything, a God who would fix your life the moment trouble comes, a God whose focus of attention is upon you and your happiness in your life, sounds suspiciously to me like a God who exists to serve me, not the true God of the Bible. A God who works out all things, even the hard things, for his glory and for my good. Not necessarily my immediate happiness, but for my ultimate good. Everything depends upon God. And so since time and chance happen to them all, we should prepare for disappointments. While we're preparing for disappointments that might come, however, here's a second thing for us also. We should enjoy the good things God has given us. Preparing for disappointments, yes, but in the meantime, we should also enjoy the good things that God has given us. And we see that message now for the fifth time in Ecclesiastes, back in verses 7 through 10. Go, eat your food with gladness, drink your wine with a joyful heart, a picture of feasting and of celebration. Always be clothed in white, a theme I looked at in one of the craft devotions last year. Comfortable clothing in a hot climate. Anoint your head with oil, relieving the irritation of dry skin, but also picturing occasions of joy. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love, working with all your might at whatever your hand finds to do. In other words, while expecting disappointments to come, and even while preparing for them, in the meantime, we're called to seek joy wherever it may be found. Not only are we to seek joy, in fact, we're commanded to do so. That's right, they're imperatives here. They are commands of God. God says, go find joy in these things that I've given you. I have to say this evening, to think that some people have an idea of God, that God is like some killjoy, some cosmic killjoy, and knowing God is dour and solemn and the opposite of joy. The idea that God wants to just weigh us down with heavy rules and heavy burdens. We need to pick that idea up and toss it out the window with as much strength as we can muster. Because God tonight calls you, commands you even, to find joy in the good things he's given you. That's the life of faith that God calls his children to live. There are some qualifiers. We must enjoy the good things we have with contentment. We must keep this command to seek joy while not neglecting the 10th commandment, not to covet. We must also enjoy the good things that we have without taking them for granted. After all, what have we just seen? Disappointments may come. The good things, you see, are not ours of right. They are a gift. They are a gift of God. Job lost those gifts for a time so that God might be glorified through his life. And so we must remember the good things that we have and find joy in them while remembering that they come from God. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? King Nebuchadnezzar walking around one evening on the roof of his palace, enjoying the things that he saw. And what did he say? Is this not the great Babylon I have built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? The good things I have because I brought them about. That attitude doesn't enjoy the blessing of God, as King Nebuchadnezzar himself discovered. But the qualifier shouldn't keep us this evening from the main truth, that it is a Christian thing, even a Christian duty, to receive the good gifts of God with thankfulness and joy, to enjoy what we can even while preparing ourselves for possible disappointments in the future. We should enjoy the good things, the good gifts that God has given us. And then here's the third and final way in which we should live in an unpredictable world. We should also trust the Lord when the hour comes. Verse 12, no man knows when his hour will come. We could compare that with James chapter 4, which we read earlier. You who make plans, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then poof, vanishes. Just as disappointment comes to us all, so too death comes to us all. Whether it is the hour of death or the hour of disappointment, none of us knows when that will be. We may have an idea. Our doctors may say that they have an idea, but we've been wrong before, and our good doctors, they've been wrong before as well. And the point's this that Solomon's making. We don't know when our hour will come, when our time will come, but the Lord does. The Lord knows. As we've seen already, everything in this unpredictable world is within his control. God does know when our hour will come. Jesus, our Lord, knows. For there was one man who did know when his hour had come. And we see that in Jesus' very own life in John 17, verse 1. What did he say? Father, the hour has come. That was the hour of all hours. That was the hour of salvation. Salvation that came about through the greatest troubles and disappointments that anyone has ever known. And when that hour came, the hour of hours, what did it find? It found the Son trusting his Father. If you are willing, take this cup from me. But if you are not my will, but yours be done. And even though Jesus had prepared for this hour, he had prepared for this hour his whole life and ministry, it was still hard. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Trusting his Father, he rose from prayer. He set his face toward the cross and went forth to destroy death through his battle upon the cross. And so, brothers and sisters, when our hour comes, we can do likewise, following in the footsteps of the one who has gone before us, who has gone ahead of us. We can face struggle, we can face disappointments, we can face even death itself with trust, because Jesus died a death that death itself may die, and he rose that we may live and have hope. And so whatever comes to us, whether it's those disappointments that we ought to prepare ourselves for, whether it's the joys that we might experience in life in the meantime, or the hour of death, we may live and die in this knowledge that our lives are in his hands, loving hands, powerful hands, hands we can trust. Amen.